You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Diane O'Carroll, and a look back at some naked archaeology. Indeed, we're looking at the fundus, the base and the bottom of archaeology with some archaeological poo. Smothered in volcanic ash in 79 AD, the site of Pompeii isn't just known for the incredible preservation of its residents and buildings. Also preserved at the site are the ephemera of daily life, including waste. But what sort of information can we glean from Roman poo? Andy Fairburn explains.
Well, we're very interested in the long-term, I guess, economic development of Pompeii, and especially the life around the Porta Stabia, the Stabian Gate, basically, through the several hundred years of Pompeii's existence. The project that I'm part of is it's run out of the University of Cincinnati in the US, and it's a multidisciplinary project, like most archaeology projects are now these days. And it's really trying to disentangle just what the, I guess, the long-term economic change at Pompeii, and, you know, how did the site, how did the city, how did the lives of the people there change over time as the Roman Empire actually formed and then had various economic reforms.
But how can Roman fossilized poo or coprolite help?
Well, the material that I've been looking at, it's really the leftovers from sewage and rubbish, I suppose. It's a mixture of the hard bits that go through the digestive tract, I suppose, and also the soft bits. And I'm very interested in plant material, actually. I'm interested in the seeds and fruits and bits of leaf matter that people eat in their lives. And so what I actually get left behind, basically what happens when in cesspits and in wet areas in general, in archaeological sites, if there are very low oxygen levels and high water content, you can get plant material and soft tissues and all manner of things preserved, yeah, even when they'd normally decay very rapidly if they were just kind of left lying around on the surface or if it was a very dry kind of environment. And what's happened at Pompeii in the context I'm actually looking at is that the sort of sewage, the rubbish and all that kind of thing has been damp long enough to basically fossilize, much like dinosaur bones or other things do when they're left in the ground for long periods of time in the right kind of chemical conditions. And effectively, all the soft tissue has been replaced by minerals. And those minerals come out of, again, all the rubbish and whatever that's actually preserved in these cesspits. They're effectively barrels, they're guard robes, they're holes dug in the ground and lined, often with amphora in there, actually used as a lining, which people have then emptied their waste into. Now, what this actually allows us to do is to investigate, you know, some of the things that were actually eaten by people in the past. Archaeology, most archaeological sites, and Pompeii's no great exception to this, the remains that we find there are dominated by the tough stuff and the bits that are often preserved in the case of plant material when they're burnt, basically. And we often get lots of rubbish, it's all mixed up. That's what we get to look at from archaeological sites. And we can't actually quite tell what people have really been eating, you know, what they've actually been consuming in a particular place, maybe a particular family or something like that. The fantastic thing about sewage and fecal matter is that we have a pretty good idea that the things in it were actually consumed. So this is the great value for this kind of thing at Pompeii. Andrew Jones, otherwise known as Bone Jones, the University of York, has called us investigating the bottom end of the market. He loves this kind of stuff. And my former professor, Gordon Hillman, used to call this stuff pearls beyond price because of the rare glimpse it gives us. Really, if you haven't got kind of direct, I guess, effluent sewage, you're waiting to look around for very rare finds like bog bodies and mummies and things like that to give you this kind of information. So at an occupation site like Pompeii, it's wonderful stuff, really, and it allows us to key right into what those particular people and those particular houses were actually consuming at times in the past.
Okay, so from whom did these brown pearls come from?
Well, the particular samples that we've been looking at so far, certainly from the later phases of occupation of the Porta Stabia, really they're coming from houses, buildings that are associated with basically retail outlets, if you like. I guess a Roman equivalent of the burger bar or that kind of thing. This is where the great masses ate, really, in the Roman urban world. Now, we're not actually sampling those people who are out the front eating the food that was being served up in these places. They're basically restaurants, cafes, that kind of thing, but really fast food joints. You know, you go along there, you pick up a bite to eat, and you head off on your daily routine. But we're actually looking at the people who are behind that, the people who were, I guess, preparing and serving up that food, and people who actually lived in the houses in that area. So we're not really talking about now, we're not talking about the top end of town here. We're talking about maybe some of the business owning classes and some of their tenants. So really, I think we're looking at the lower end of Roman social world.
Well, the question I've got to ask is, does it still smell?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It just smells of delicious, moist soil, actually. It's very pleasant stuff to work with, actually, and I would say quite attractive to look at. I've seen a lot of archaeological material down the microscope, and a lot of the seeds, fruits, and all bits of plant material I look at usually look pretty gnarly and blackened, and they're not particularly aesthetically pleasing. But we get all manner of things preserved, and it's beautiful to look at, actually, these sort of basically fossilized mineral casts of things that were found in the past. I have to say that it's not just the plant material, which I'm kind of obsessed about, so I love looking at, but we get all manner of things, including fly puparia, all manner of insect bits and pieces down there too, because we're not just getting the actual sewage, the effluent, we're getting all the things that actually live on it too, and they can actually be quite, I guess to my eye anyway, quite beautiful to look at, in fact, and they're beautifully preserved.
What's the strangest thing you found in there?
There's a certain amount of rubbish in there, yeah, definitely. But most of the rubbish seems to be actually derived from food preparation. So you get things like, you know, bits of fish heads, and you get small bits of bone, vertebra that have been chopped up. You can see where they've been butchered, and they may have been removed from the food during preparation, or maybe the leftovers of somebody having a nibble of something. Just trying to think, I think the most unusual thing, the most interesting thing from my point of view, are actually the insect remains, to be honest. They haven't been analysed in any way yet. Dr. Mark Robinson is going to be working on those. He's a world-renowned expert in identifying this kind of thing. And I find them probably the most fascinating of the materials that we find, because often these things the insects are actually very specific to particular environments. And so what they can tell us, yeah, they can say this is a big smelly pile of old poo, if you like, but they also can give us all manner of, potentially anyway, information about the actual the surroundings and the rooms, for example, that these toilets were in. We know from sort of generalized historical records that the Romans had a very different view of hygiene to us. They often had the toilets in the kitchen, so you could throw out your kitchen scraps as well as food that had already been eaten, if you like. And so we can use the insect fauna that we have, potentially, to tell us what those sort of conditions may have been like in the kitchen. So I find that most interesting. But I have to say, rather sadly, we don't get things like bits of gold jewellery or anything like that. It's all rather mundane in my end of town.
Well, where there's muck, there's brass, as they say. Andy Fairbairn, Senior Lecturer in Archaeology at the University of Queensland. And you can find more interviews like that at thenakedscientists.com/archaeology.